One thing that was on my heart in light of this life and how quickly life goes by was the importance of prayer in our lives. You know, to not allow ourselves to get too consumed with life and the responsibilities of life to where we forget to spend time in prayer with our Heavenly Father. You know, because that is one of the key aspects to our relationship with God. That's one of the great things that God has privileged us to have in life is a relationship with Him. And prayer is the facilitator of that. You know, prayer is the acknowledging that you do have a relationship with God. It's when you talk to Him, when you request things of Him, when you make known your own heart to Him. Which is why in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it says so briefly and succinctly, in verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know, don't stop prayer. You know, so obviously it's more than just reciting the Lord's Prayer over and over and over again in your life. You know, prayer is something more than just a ritualistic prayer. Prayer is a relationship that you have with God. It's the time that you take to talk things over with Him. You know, and to see that that word says pray without ceasing. You know, this is the desire of God for us to recognize that we're never ever at a place in our life where God is not interested. So pray. And then it says in the next verse, in verse 18, in everything give thanks. Well, who are you giving thanks to? In everything. It's in context of prayer. Pray. If you don't have anything that you specifically need or want to ask God for, then give thanks. See, prayer has within it so many different things. You know, it's a relationship. It's not just going to God when you need something. It's not just going to God when you're upset about something. It's not just going to God when you think you should. It's maintaining a relationship with your Heavenly Father. You know, Jesus Christ did that. You know, He did that all the time. And this, it says, is the will of God in Christ concerning you. That you pray without ceasing, that in all things you thank God. That He's there for you, that He's done for you what He's promised He'll do. You don't give thanks to God for the bad things that are happening, like so many religious people think. We give thanks to God for the promises that He has made. That in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That it's Christ in you, that we've been made His masterpiece. I'm so thankful that I've been made God's masterpiece. That I didn't have to try and make myself something. Because when we try and make ourselves something, we fail. But that's why God, by His grace, has made us His righteousness in Christ. He's made us His masterpiece. He's fully enabled us to do what His Word says we can do. That's why we can in all things be thankful. That's why we can continue to pray without ceasing. And our prayer has to be in the context of the things that the Word of God speaks of prayer. You know, prayer is not something that we do in doubt. Prayer is something that we do with great anticipation of great things. That's why it's more than just a ritual, which some people make prayer a ritual. And in God's heart, prayer is about maintaining a relationship with Him. If we look at Mark chapter 1, right, this is what Jesus Christ did. Just a few things about prayer this morning. If we're going to see great things happen in our lives, we have to be men and women of prayer. We have to be men and women who maintain our relationship with our Heavenly Father in a real, true sense. knowing without a doubt that when we open our mouths to God, when we begin to speak to Him, His ears are open. And He's listening. He's attentive to every word. He's attentive to every detail between every word. You know, why are you saying it the way you're saying it? He knows. He understands. He sees your heart. He understands your heart. He knows exactly what you're dealing with and what you're going through. And He cares. He has a great deal of care for us. That's why we can cast our care upon Him, because He cares for you. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, familiar verse, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, He," speaking of Jesus Christ, "went out, departed into a solitary place, and there He prayed." He prayed. He opened His day with His relationship with God. You know? And this is interesting because the events of the day before were really incredible. I mean, He had a big day the day before. He healed many people. There were multitudes coming to Him. He was healing many. He was casting out devil spirits. He had a long day. You read about what He dealt with when He came to Capernaum in verse 21. "Straightway on the Sabbath day He entered into the synagogue. He taught. They were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." He wasn't just going through ritualistic preaching, reading of the scriptures like the scribes did, or carrying out ritual prayers. He was teaching with great authority. He was teaching with great conviction in the words that He was preaching and teaching. And because of that, it says, there, verse 23, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out in the synagogue. Man with the unclean spirit crying out, "Oh no! Maybe that's somebody with authority here. I can't stand that." And he said, "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Whoa. Just in the middle, you know. I mean, this was sort of an astonishing thing. Because this had just been the synagogue that the scribes and Pharisees had continued their thing day by day, Sabbath day by Sabbath day, the same rituals, the same lack of real faith, the same lack of power, the same lack of a presence of the power of God in their lives. And then in comes Jesus Christ, and He is preaching with authority. He's teaching them with authority. That when you go to this scripture and you read it, it is "Thus saith the Lord." It's God's word to you. It's God's promises to you. And they were like, whoa. But that unclean spirit couldn't hold his tongue. Because that unclean spirit was freaking out. Like, now I gotta go. I was comfortable here. Now I gotta get out. I can see the handwriting on the wall. What have I to do with thee? Right? They were all amazed. Right? What did he do? And Jesus rebuked him, saying, verse 25, "Hold thy peace, come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And because of that, they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this thing? What new doctrine is this? This is incredible. For with authority commands he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." What new doctrine is this? And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Immediately. People began to speak of what they had just seen in the synagogue that day. They had, wow, this guy came in. He taught with such authority. He spoke like we haven't heard ever. It had been 400 years since someone had spoken for God. Since Malachi, 400 years before, had anyone opened their mouth with conviction, with faith, with real believing that when they spoke the truth, it was "Thus saith the Lord"? It had been 400 years since they'd heard someone teach this way. And let alone back it up with a manifestation of power. So they were all amazed, and it didn't take long for everyone to hear about it. You should have been there. What? Where were you? You should have been at our synagogue. Man, you're not going to believe what happened. And so immediately it spread abroad. All the region round about Galilee. In verse 29, forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and immediately they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. She just didn't say, well, thanks, you know, I got to go get some more rest. I feel better, thank you. No, she got up. She began to serve them. Do what was traditionally right. And because she was delivered, she was healed. And at even, when the sun did set, this was after the day, that evening now. When the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. The whole community was at the door. This reminds me of a testimony I heard from India, from the guys who went to Calcutta, this area outside of Calcutta. They had gone and they'd been preaching the word, and they ministered the word, and a couple of people were delivered. Several people were healed that day. And the next day, there were 1,000 people outside the house in the field next door, waiting for them to wake up and come and preach the word to them. You know, we read these records in the Word of God, and we see and we think, oh, what a great moment that must have been. How wonderful it would be to be able to have lived that day outside that house where the Lord Jesus Christ was. And yet, we are told that we can do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. We can see these same things if we will do the same thing that Jesus Christ did. Speak with authority. When you speak, it's the Word of God. If you're speaking the Word, then trust that you have the authority of that Word. And that it's true, and that God will back it up. So it didn't take long, you know, did it? Just during the day, more and more people talking. And at sunset, multitude comes. The whole city comes. Where is he? We want to talk to him. We have some needs. And the city was gathered together at the door in verse 34, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. They knew exactly who he was. And he was like, no, I don't want anybody to know, so shut up. Shut up, enough. But he healed many. How long do you think that must have taken? The sun goes down. It's probably about 6 o'clock. Let's average. Right? 6 p.m. They start their day at sunrise. Right? They begin. They get up with the sun. In that culture, they would be up with the sun. Maybe even a little bit before the sun rose. Which was their custom. That was the way they lived their lives. They'd gone all day. All day. He preached, he taught at the synagogue, he ministered to that one man, cast that devil spirit out, goes back to Simon's, fellowships with them during the afternoon, probably shared a lot, much teaching of the word. And then the sun goes down and he's thinking, boy, it's been a great day, hasn't it? Been great. What is that noise out there? What is that? And they go out and they see this, all the city come together. And so now he's thinking, I've done enough, haven't I, for one day? No, he just continued to minister to many. On into the night. Then when it was all done, when he'd healed many, cast out many devil spirits, I'm sure he gets his head down on the pillow and he's thinking, man, what a great day it's been for God. I think I'm going to sleep in tomorrow. No. Nope. Verse 35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and he said, you know what? Father, this is just too exciting what you've called me to. What a great day yesterday was, but what a great day today will be. He maintained that relationship with his Heavenly Father because he knew that that was part of his life. That was part of his energy source, you know, for being ready for the next round of battle with the adversary. And then Simon, this is great, because Simon and they that were with him followed after him. He's up. Is that him? Yeah, he's up. Come on. Get up. They followed after him. Where'd he go? I don't know. He went that way, I think. They come to him. They find him. They found him. Verse 37, they found him. When they found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. He said, yeah, I'm sure they do. So let's go to the next town so that I may preach there also, for that's what I'm all about. You know, that city, that community where he was and had been ministering the day before, the night before, there were more people that wanted to see him, wanted to speak with him. But he said, no, let's just go to the next towns. Let's keep moving. If they want to come, they'll follow. They will follow. See, this is Jesus Christ's life, you know. And that's the same thing that we have been privileged to have also, a relationship with God. To be able to pray. Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 and in verse 12. It says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. See, his prayer life was not ritualistic. It was a relationship. That's why he could sit and pray all night to God. He opened his heart to his Father. He prayed. And he knew that God was listening. He knew that God was attentive. And that's what he taught his disciples. That this is not just something that you do because someone prescribes it for you. Okay, we're going to have a night of prayer. No, it's just like, I need to pray. I need to go with you, Father, and pray. You know, and it's a relationship. It's like talking to your best friend. Now, that's what prayer is. Some people, you know, you ask them, well, if they're new in fellowship sometimes, and this has happened to all of us. You know, when maybe the first time we come to fellowship, someone says, well, would you pray? I remember the first time someone asked me to pray in fellowship. I said, I don't know how to pray. No one had ever really taught me that prayer wasn't just, okay, this is the prayer you pray. You know, I'd heard prayer at the dinner table. I'd heard that. I knew what that was. You have someone pray for the food. And my dad would pray. I knew what that was, but I didn't know what it meant. I didn't understand it. And for so many people, they don't understand that prayer is just not, you look it up in the prayer book. Okay, this is the prayer for food. This is the prayer for before fellowship. This is the prayer that the Lord taught me to pray. And someone asked me to pray. I said, well, I think, you know, well, should I pray the Lord's Prayer? I don't know. But then I was taught from the Scriptures, someone opened the Word to me and shared with me that, no, prayer is just you opening your heart to God. with thanksgiving. You know, like it said, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. So when I sit down and I pray, I'm opening my heart to God like I would to a friend or to my, you know, to my own dad if I had a situation where I want his advice or I want to talk to him. Tell him this is what I'm going through. This is what I'm dealing with. And I would expect him to respond. And that's what Jesus Christ did in his prayer life. He expected God to respond. That's why he spent so much time in prayer. And he saw the response of God. He heard the voice of his Father, caring for him, guiding him, directing him. That's what we all have available to us, if we will but pray without ceasing. Pray. You know, recognize that this is the practical part of our relationship with God. I think it's 1 Peter. We'll go back to the Gospels here in a second, but I think it's 1 Peter where it says, "I will therefore the men pray everywhere."
That's Timothy.
Timothy? Yeah, Timothy. I looked at something in Peter too. 1 Timothy? No. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
First Timothy chapter 2.
First. Well, no, that's...
First Timothy 2:8.
Yeah. 1 Timothy 2:8, right. "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." You know, it says lifting up holy hands. That's a custom that they had there to represent. It wasn't a literal, you know, that everybody now raises their hands when they pray. It was a symbolic surrendering. It would be to represent just surrendering it all to God. You know, that many times in their culture when they'd lay down at night and they'd think of the day that they'd just had, they would lift their hands to God and just say, "Okay, God, you take it from here. I'm done." You know, and that's what it represented. You know, just a complete giving it to God. You know, that doesn't mean that you have to do that when you pray. You know, that this anybody can go around doing this, right? Right. Anyone can. But that doesn't mean that they have within their heart done what it says here. You know, it's when we pray, we're recognizing that God's willing to take it all. He's willing to take on the responsibility of your needs and your desires. He is willing to do it. That's what it represents. So we give it to God without wrath and doubting. See, because prayer is not about you doubting God. Real prayer, genuine prayer, is about you having confidence in God. That He cares for you, that He's willing to take it on. "Give it to me, I'm willing." That's God's desire, and it's you knowing that. Without wrath, without anger. Anger, you can be angry, you know, the Word of God's, "Be angry, sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath." You know, you're going to get mad about things. You're going to get really irritated with the adversary sometimes. So it's not just about being angry. It's about being angry with God. When you pray, don't be angry with God. It's not His fault. Don't doubt Him. He's not to be doubted. He is to be trusted. Now, do we have a tendency to doubt God? Yes. Do we have a tendency to be angry with God sometimes? Yes. And he's just instructing us, don't be. When you give it to God, don't be angry with him. And don't doubt him. Jesus Christ lived that way. When he prayed, when he took up that relationship with God, it was with complete confidence. And complete, he was at complete peace with what God was doing for him and with him. Even at the end, right? Even at the end, when he was getting ready to be crucified, what was his prayer? He went out in the garden, right? He goes out and tells those guys, now just, you know, watch, I'll be back in a minute. You know? He takes with him Peter and one of the others, and they go and he says, okay, you guys wait here and pray with me. He goes and he prays, and his prayer to God was, boy, if there's any other way to do this, I'd rather do it another way. But not what I want, what you want. I want to do what you need me to do. Was he angry with God? I can't believe you got to make me do this. No, he wasn't. Was he doubtful that God knew what he was doing? No. See? But he gave it all to God. He said, it's up to God. I'm just doing what you need me to do. And I know you're going to take care of the details. I know you're going to back up every promise that you've made about me and for me. And it's in that relationship that we just have great enablements. We are empowered in that relationship because it's something that's real. Now, in back in the Gospels, you know, something that Jesus Christ said. In Mark chapter 11, right? Mark 11, and then we'll close here. This is something that, if it says pray without ceasing, then boy, you know, prayer has to be fun. Prayer has to be rewarding. Prayer has to be real. It has to be something real. You know, Jesus Christ said that right here, when he's cursed the fig tree in chapter 11 of Mark, and verse 22, he answered and said unto them, have faith in God, believe God, just have some confidence in God, will you please? Don't go to God with anger and doubt in your heart. Go to God with great confidence. Be at peace within your own heart that He's open to your prayers, that He's listening. You can surrender it all to Him and He'll be there for you. He'll take care of it. Then He said to him this great statement, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. That's our Lord who said that. He's the one that we say is our master. And yet so many people want to look at this verse and say, no, 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 no. They don't want to accept this for what it says. Faith can move mountains. In other words, it can appropriate the impossible for you. So, what's the practical aspect of that? Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe. Believe that you have received them and you shall have them. Believe that. Don't go to God with anger, with doubt, when you pray. Because when you pray with faith, it doesn't matter if it's an impossible task. It can be done. And it will be done. That is an important element to our prayer life. You know, if we go to God and we're doubting whether He's listening, we're doubting whether He can do anything about this, or you know, what are we going to get? We're going to get nothing. When Jesus Christ went to God in prayer and went to God with his heart, he knew. He knew. I'm going to receive what I ask of him. Of course, Jesus Christ lived on a totally different level than most of us live. You know? He didn't care. He knew that he didn't care what was going on tomorrow. He just lived today. I'm going to live today. I'm going to do what God has for me today, and I'm not going to worry about my food, my clothing, my place to hang my head, or my hat. He didn't wear a hat. I'm not going to be concerned about it. He was that trusting in his Heavenly Father to provide. He knew that, well, I mean, gee whiz, he feeds the birds, he'll feed me. And he's not going to feed me worms. He's going to feed me what I like. Bread, fish, maybe some mutton once in a while. See, this is the kind of confidence that we can have in God when we open our mouth and our heart to him in prayer. You know, prayer is something that's done in the heart. You know, it's like what he said, Jesus Christ said, if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you, right? If you ask anything in my name, I'll make sure it's done. Anything. I'll make sure. You know, we cannot allow ourselves to be tricked by tradition, tricked by the things that the adversary has put in place in the world to make us doubt that God is every bit behind his word now as he was back then. That he is willing and able to back up every promise. He is able to listen to every one of us. If we were to go to him right now in prayer, everyone with a different request, at the same moment, he is still able to listen and to care and to concern himself with each one of us. Why can he do that? I don't know. He's God. He can do anything. With God, nothing's impossible. Well, what if we all come to God at the same time? Who's he going to listen to first? I don't know. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? Why deal with those kind of questions when the simplicity of God's love and care is laid out in his word for us and we just simply anticipate him to do it? For with God, nothing's impossible. Not listening to everyone at once is impossible, and making every request, providing for every request. No matter how impossible it may be for us, it's not impossible for God. So when we pray, without ceasing, we're thankful to God, and we're recognizing that he's listening, he's there for us. And we will receive if we but believe. Just give it to him. It's a great example that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ set. And you know, when you think about Jesus Christ's life, so many people look and go, well, he was the Son of God. Yeah, sure, he could do those great things. God says we're his sons and daughters also. When we look at the life of Jesus Christ, we look at what we can live like every day as a son or daughter of God. He gave the example. This is how life can be as a son of God. If we will but commit our hearts and lives to him. You know? Our hearts. You know, we all do what we do in a five senses way. You know, in our livelihood and the things that we enjoy doing in the flesh, our work. You know, some people farm the land. Some people, you know, are manufacturing. Some people are in sales. Some people are in, you know, physical therapy type things. Whatever it is that we choose to do, we're still sons of God, daughters of the Most High God. And we can live the way Jesus Christ lived. We can see God do great things for us, okay? So pray without ceasing and be thankful, all right? And God will show himself to you. God will prove himself and his care to you. He will. Just don't be angry or doubting. Be angry with the devil. He's the one you need to be angry with. He's the jerk. All right, so Father, we're grateful for your love and your grace. Thankful for how you do back up our every request that you have promised to do so many great and exceeding precious things for us that it is truly, truly exciting to anticipate you doing them. And we're grateful, God, as we open our hearts to you in prayer and in the quiet places of our heart, that you're there and you're listening, and that we see your great hand at work within our lives. Thankful, God, for the way you empower our every step, for the way you continue to provide for our every need. And Father, how that you have just blessed us with your mercy and your grace to make us your children. We're thankful for how we can be excited and anticipate great things in the days ahead, because we know in our hearts we've given it to you. So thanks, Father, for reminding us that you're there, and Father, for helping each of us encourage one another to maintain that relationship with you in prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ.